too each morning. Now I can't help but sing. Yes, you are worthy. Thank you. listen. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, the truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me.
To our church, I think maybe a couple weeks ago, but I have this picture in my mind, and it's probably different for everyone because everyone's imagination is different. But have you ever been to not been to them, but maybe seen them on TV? Those like tribute shows, if there's like Diana Ross has a tribute show, 50 Years of Motown, or something like that. I have this picture in my mind of this person sitting in the front row, and then all these other artists that are well known, and they come up and they honor her with the songs that she's made famous, over the last 50 years or whatever it is. And And I have this picture in my mind. I know we always say it as churches or as Christian people, it's become like Christianese or cliche, you know, we sing for an audience of one and everyone's heard that thing. But, you know, really, it really is even more so. I hate to lower it to the standard of like a tribute show, but it really is an interaction with the King. And you take the place of this person, like, you know, fill in the blank, Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, or whatever. And all they did was sing music and entertain people for a certain amount of time. And the King of Kings has saved us from hell. And I hate to say it like that. Sometimes we're scared to say that, but that's the truth. He has saved us from hell. And he's the master of the universe, the creator of all things. And we've come to worship him. And I know every church is different. There's all kinds of little, corners of counties and cities going on where people do the same exact thing. We try to do it in our own special little way, but get out of everything else right now, and because there's an interaction that goes on when you come. And I know worship starts off as, and it should, as completely unselfish and completely just us offering what we have to the King with expecting nothing in return, knowing that we really deserve nothing in return. But the beauty of it is we're Christians and there's a relationship. So he doesn't just sit there and say, sing me some more songs, guys. What else you got? There's an interaction, and he really does speak to us. And he really does talk to us, and he really does visit us, and he really does heal, and he really does perform miracles, and he really does renew minds and break addictions. And he really does answer your prayers for your unsaved family members or the people that are lost or the people that call you every other week asking for money and you don't know how they're going to get out of that situation. Believe me, I'm there too. And I forget so fast and so quickly to seize these opportunities. You know, Dan said, hey, I'm going to be out of town this weekend. Can you cover a couple days for me at Hope Church? And I was like, yeah, that's cool. You know, you get asked to do that every once in a while. And so quickly I forget, man, let's seize an opportunity as a family of people who all recognize that God saved us from hell and yes. Sit here just for a second and say, God, would you just be pleased with what we have to offer you tonight? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I'm not trying to build up false emotion or anything like that, because I promise you, I forget really easy. I do this every week. And it's so easy for me to just go through the motion and do my job. And I'm saying, God, I'm so grateful for what you've done. And forgive me if I just play through songs and know how to sing stuff a certain way. God, you saved us from hell. What a mighty, gracious, awesome God we serve. Lord, we do. We don't want to miss this opportunity. And in every church, there's, whether you want to call it liturgy or not, there's a format. And we all go through the same thing. You know, for the first half hour, I asked Pastor Mike when I got here, what do you guys usually do? Oh, maybe 30, 40 minutes of worship. And I know there's a format at every church, but I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss you, Lord.
Amen.
I know he lives inside of us, but I want to strike the chord that moves you, God, and not just sing the songs that I like.
Amen.
I want to find you, God, if that's even the way to put it. I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Come on, family, sing this. Oh, speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me.
Sing those lyrics without just waiting for a second.
my favorite stories in the Bible is the thief on the cross. You guys know that story? And I'll tell you the reason why. It's because it blows away all of the cliches and church things that we do, because he didn't say the sinner's prayer. All he did was say, God, would you just remember me when you get to paradise? And I get so quick to say, well, it's got to look like this, and you need to say the sinner's prayer, and you need to go through connections class, and you need to get baptized. And the beauty of our relationship with God is everyone in this room has unique needs. And I know we're playing music like it's kind of down and lonely, but you might come in, you might be having the time of your life right now, and maybe the person next to you is completely hopeless and desperate. And you don't have to say anything. You don't have to announce it. The beauty of it is that God already knows, and all you need to do is just ask him, just like that thief on the cross. You don't have to say anything special. You don't have to lift your hands and worship a certain way and be the good Christian. I'm so grateful, God, that you meet us where we're at, Lord. That's what church is all about. It's family, and we help each other.
More than words to say, I need to see. is it gives you another peak, just another dimension of worship, and just what a tiny little glimpse of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven, because it's going to be a never-ending worship service, I'm convinced, and it's going to be such diversity and such wonderful, just amazing different things to hear and to see and to experience, and just want to thank our friends from Agape Mike and his team for joining us and blessing us tonight and being with us and celebrating Jesus with us. It's been really special, so thanks so much.
Thanks, Pastor.
Yeah, maybe you can get one more later at the end, maybe so. All right, we'll pray for that. That'd be great. Well, tonight's a really special night, and what we're going to do is honor someone. It was kind of interesting that Mike picked up on, I don't know if you're discerning something, but we are actually doing an honoring of sorts. We're honoring Pastor Neil Carlson for, number one, having his 80th birthday today. He chose to have his birthday just so he could have a worship service. So 80 years young today. And we're also celebrating 60-plus years in ministry. So we're going to have kind of a fun time going through some things, and we're going to kind of do it in a different format. So I'm going to ask Pastor Neil to come up and join me, and ask Pastor Rick to come up and join me, and we're going to do something just a little bit different. I think it's going to be fun. While we're getting things set up, I wanted to just kind of do a couple of quick mentions. Again, we're starting up a new church. This is Hope Living Church, and we're still kind of getting all the pieces put together. We're really excited about what God's doing. So welcome. If you have a chance, there should be in the packet you got, there's a welcome card. If you could fill that out and drop it off in the back. You'll see a little tower back there that says contribution station on it. If you could put your welcome card in the basket back there, we would just love to stay in touch with you as we go along and let you know about other things that are coming up as we go along. So welcome and thank you for doing that. Let's go ahead and have Pastor Neil come up and Pastor Rick. We're going to get a couple stools. Oh, there they are. They're already behind me.
We're right here.
All right. Slide a little bit forward. There we go. All right.
I don't want to get too close to you guys. Before you say anything, you've all seen television roasts on television.
Absolutely.
May I have the box, please?
Are you feeling like
it's going to get warmer in here?
Well, let me have the box. And you think this is Superman? No, thank you. It's S, and S stands for what? Hope. This is Hope Living Church. Anyway, it stands for hope. It's a symbol for hope on the Krypton thing. Anyway, if I'm going to be roasted, I've come with a fire extinguisher. So, do what you want to do, but roast me.
All right, we're going to remember that, Sarah. That may come in handy, for sure. I just want to congratulate you on the milestones, both in surviving the planet for 80 years.
True.
And amazing. Is it embarrassing to sing happy birthday? Let's do that.
No, don't do that.
Absolutely.
No, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Mila. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. You all may go home now.
I was just thinking, in one of the phases of his ministry at Rock Harbor, he started a group called the Speeders.
True.
For ages 55 and up, which, interestingly, I qualify for now. Wow, that's great. But what do they do for a group of people that are pushing 80? I mean, that's like a special kind of ticket for 80. I don't know what that's about, but anyway, I just thought that was lots of think of new milestones to hit.
This is a young church, so I'm not.
All right, well, I'm going to have Pastor Rick start off with we're just going to kind of do a series of questions. Save up yours. You may have some questions for Pastor Neil, too. If you do, that would be great. You can contribute, too. We're going to give you a spot to do that towards the end. But we got some sort of pointed questions to go through, so let's do this. We're going to pass that back and forth and share.
So feel free to jump in at any time. And, you know, there's rotten vegetables in the back to throw, so.
That's good.
I don't know. I think it'd be good just to start off with a story of maybe your salvation and maybe a story of how you were called to ministry.
Okay.
That would be.
All right. Saved when I was at the great age of 8, baptized at the same time. And then in 1952, when it was time to graduate from high school, somebody said, "What are you going to do next?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And I had given no thought at all of going to school. So my mom said, "Why don't you enroll in Louisiana Tech, which is like Cal Poly, and then do it in the summertime so that when the regular fall term starts, you'll be acclimated to it all." So I did. And my goal was to be an electronic engineer or a petroleum engineer. And so I pursued that course.
Wow.
However, during that time, at this age of 19, the Lord had other plans for me. And so, to make a long story short, I decided I would have to go home and tell my mom and dad that I was going to not follow the steps of my father. And I was so nervous. And even today, I still have it. I went to my dad's den, which was in the back of the garage, and there I took a soldering iron and a piece of copper wire, and I made a circle, and I was just so nervous. I had to. Anyway, I told him that I was going to go into the ministry. And so that's how it all got started. And then I have to read the scripture that really put me on board of it all. He spoke to me in understandable words, in not understandable words.
No,
it was just a feeling. It was just a feeling that God had called me, and it was farther seen from my mind. I was not going to do this. But you know that tug in your heart? You just have to do what the Lord tells you to do. And so with fear and trembling, I told my folks. With fear and trembling, I told him, okay. And then I went my way. And then in the course of short length of time, this scripture came to me, which is on my website. Before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I knew all about you, Neil. Well, that's paraphrasing. Before you drew your first breath, I had already chosen you to be my prophet, to speak my word to the nations. This is Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. And Jeremiah says, or Neil says, "Oh, eternal Lord, I'm too young." True. "I'm inexperienced." True. "To speak for you." But the Eternal One says, paraphrasing Neil, "Don't use your youth as an excuse." Okay. "You can and go wherever I send you. You can and will say whatever I tell you to say. You have no reason to fear the people." Yeah. "You speak to, for I am with you and will defend you." And then the other scripture that meant a lot to me, guys, and congregation, 2 Timothy 4, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of the appearing at his kingdom, I give you, Neil, this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season." I don't like this part, but "correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Keep your head in all situations, endure hardships." Yeah, tell me. "Do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." And so those scriptures from Jeremiah really spoke a lot to me and put me on the road. And then I transferred from the Louisiana Tech to a denominational school because I knew I was going to go into the ministry. And so the next thing I knew, I was asked to speak, and I spoke. And then I went to this little country church, and they liked me. I guess they were desperate. And you know, so they called me at age 19.
Wow, awesome.
I got to tell you this. Of all the funny things that happened to me when I was this age at this little country church, screen door entering into the church, I just spoken the message, and I was just so excited about giving the invitation. And so I used the word trouble. You know, there is trouble ahead if you're not saved. And so I said, there's trouble ahead. And all of a sudden, people started giggling. Well, this is not right. Sponsored again. You know, seriously, people, trouble is ahead if you do not accept Jesus as your Savior. And then coming down the center aisle was this dog. The dog's name was?
Trouble.
You're right. And so then I learned my lesson. But when I said trouble, the dog was back enjoying himself. But trouble came.
Sounds like God has a sense of humor.
Yes.
Alrighty. Well, you're kind of already getting started on the next question, but tell us a little bit about that first pastor. I think we got a picture of that first church. Kind of hard to see there. That might be on the handout. Is that on the handout?
It's on the handout.
Okay. Anyway, so you can enjoy. That's 19-year-old Pastor Neil in front of his first church.
Oh, and believe it or not, I found a reel-to-reel recording of a sermon at that age at that church. And there was nobody in the SLO region who has reel-to-reel capability of transferring it to a CD. And I found a guy in Paso, and so he took the reel-to-reel, and I wouldn't want anybody to listen to it.
Why? It's awesome.
Well, that's acceptable. No. Anyway.
All right. Well, the next question that I have is sort of general, but you can launch into it. I think it's going to go a certain direction. But
the fire extinguisher.
How have you managed to stay grounded through all those years of ministry,
okay,
dealing with us people?
It's really simple. It'll make me cry. Jesus on the inside, and Nanny, my girl, on the outside.
Click the next slide. Up next to us.
And so, Nancy was one. You know, the divorce rate, it's very high among ministers, and burnout is very high among pastors. But the thing that's kept me through the 61 years is my dear wife. And one, those of you who have the handout, it was on my birthday that I gave her a Dake's Bible, which I wrote that guy and said, Mr. Dake, how do you know all this stuff? And so his son went back and said, well, my dad's not here, but anyway. Now I lost the train of thought. Oh, yes, what my wife wrote in the Bible is what I wanted you to read. So good. Every time I read it, I cry. But, yeah, and God took her, as many of you know. She graduated 8 months and 2 weeks ago. She went to sleep with me in bed, and she woke up there. And I found, and incidentally, guys, you may not know this, but shortly after she graduated, I found a piece of paper that she had written, and on the paper was written the script. I gotta stand up. Was the scripture from Isaiah? I forgot what was the Isaiah, and it says, "To you who are righteous and you know, blah 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 blah, whatever else, you will die in your own bed." Wow.
Talking about the sunglasses. As well, you're on the kick. You're on the kick.
No? Yeah, I would love to tell you. So my sunglasses, 3 o'clock in the morning, I got to stand up, 3 o'clock in the morning, she said, honey, will you give me my sunglasses? And I said, Nanny, what do you want your sunglasses for? And she said, please give me my sunglasses. And I said, okay, I know where they are. They're on top of the trunk in the garage. So I went out and got her sunglasses, and I brought them to her. And you know, people, talk about a spiritual loser. It was not until the next afternoon that I realized what you, some of you know already, what? The light. She was going to the light. And I don't know whether it was before or after that, that I reached over. Sometimes we would pull the sheet over our head and we would pretend there were feathers. We're getting under the feathers of the Lord, our favorite scripture. And I reached over to hold her hand and she pushed my hand away. And I thought to myself, Nanny, why are you doing that? So then I took 2 hands to hold her hand. And she did the same thing. And again, people, it wasn't until the next afternoon, I called myself a spiritual loser, until I realized she was saying, Neil, let go of my hand so I can hold his hand.
Yeah. That's good. That's encouraging, actually. Well, I don't know. I don't want to make you cry too much, but I have this. Well, I mean, we are on this kick, and this was one of my questions.
All right, go
but,
ahead.
But It was how did you and your associate pastor slash partner of life slash nanny, a.k.a. Nancy, meet? Like I said, I don't want to make...
No, no, it's cool. It's a beautiful story. And this will be my pick. My pick. My text for the evening, if I have to have one. Romans 8:28. Who knows what that says? Somebody.
All things work together for good
to those. And that's my scripture for you. And incidentally, when I read this scripture from the Word, I want you to know that every single one of you people this evening have God's hand upon you. And there are no mistakes looking at me. None of you are mistakes. You've been created for a purpose. And the idea is to find it.
Amen.
Okay, all things work together for good to what?
To those who love God.
How many things?
All
things. Everything.
But you know what? Since there are no commas or periods or, you know, grammatical, whatever you call them in the original Greek, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. But most people stop after all things work together for good. That's not true. It's for those who love the Lord. Okay, and called according to his purpose. And every one of us has been called to his purpose.
Amen.
Okay, I'm at the graduate school after finishing college, and I was associate pastor at a very coveted position, three or four blocks from the graduate school of the seminary. And I went home with my brand new car, 1960 Renault Dauphine with a sunroof, which was unheard of in those days. And I also had a portable radio, which also was unheard of. I also had the first portable TV that anybody had ever seen. Anyway, that's the point. So I went home to visit my folks in Shreveport, which is the north part of Louisiana. And on the way back to New Orleans to participate in a dedication service of a new educational building, this guy walked across the freeway, and being the nice guy that I am, I thought I'd miss him. So I swerved, and the short wheelbase of the car did that. Car went 134 feet, but I went 143 feet. So that kept me from graduating on time. The bottom line of the story is that I had to remain at the school instead of graduating. At the same time, 1,200 miles away, Nancy was in a broken engagement situation, and so she decided to go to New Orleans. She was teaching in Kansas City, Missouri. So had I not had the accident, I wouldn't have met my girl. And so it just goes back to that scripture, fellows, and to all of you, that, you know, all bad things are not bad things.
Amen.
So that's how I met my wife. That's how I got to tell you this. She drives, she came in the taxi cab, and she had her blue suede coat on and the heels, and the guy was carrying the suitcases, and the girls were looking out of the girl's dorm, and I heard later, oh, she's going to get all the dates. Well, the crazy thing is, the next scuttlebutt on the campus was, what is Neil Carlson doing in the cafeteria? Because I never went to the cafeteria. I went to restaurants and cafes and all that kind of thing. But when that girl came, I started the grub at the cafeteria.
Sacrifices, huh?
Oh, boy.
We're talking a lot about some first things, and when you were first married and your first church, and you must have had a first parsonage. So I'll have to flip the slide.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Picture bring back any memories?
Yeah, that was called a shotgun house because it just had room, room, room. That's all it was.
Shotgun house. I know I've heard at least one or two funny stories about events that happened at that house. Not funny isn't probably the right word, but just interesting. Anything else you want to share about your life, your first married life, and your first parsonage?
Well, I was asked to speak in a revival in Chicago, East Gary, Indiana, and Nancy had to stay at home, and this guy came to the window and scared her to death.
Oh,
all right. shouldn't scare her to death because she's still alive. But anyway. Yeah, I can tell you this. We had the big church, and it was a big building, and then we had the educational building, and then we had the parsonage, which you see before you. And we were having a social in the social hall, and they ran out of sugar or something, and so they came, obviously, to the pastor's house. This is why it's not wise for a pastor to live next door to the church, but in many communities, that's what happens. Anyway, Nancy's having a miscarriage. I'm on the phone with the doctor, reach in the toilet, pull out, you know, do what you got to do. Knock, 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 knock. Pastor, we need sugar.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Awkward.
You think that's awkward. Then 15 minutes later, another person came. You know, we can't believe this, but we needed something else. And so here I'm crying, trying to talk to the doctor. He's walking me through, taking care of the miscarriage and all. And okay, that came to my mind when you said
that. I guess the point is that life isn't always smooth in the ministry, and it's full of surprises and even some uncomfortable moments.
Yeah, I have to flush it both.
Well, I don't know. To segue from there, how about some other interesting, funny stories you mentioned about the dog? Any other funny stories from your early ministry come to mind? I know you had at least one story about a guest speaking at a church.
Yes, I don't know why I was invited to do this, but I was invited to this Methodist church, very liturgical. And they asked me to wear a robe. I've never worn a robe except for graduation 3 times. And so I put on this big robe, and I walked out into this big pulpit. It was a monster. And they're all were there because of the dedication or something. I don't know what it was now. Anyway, so I move around when I preach. And so I did this. And remember, I got a robe on with a big sleeve. And it got caught in the pulpit as it comes around. I couldn't get it out, so I just left it there for a while and used the other hand. Finally, I got it out. I was so praise God, I got it out. Well, nobody really noticed it, I guess. Yeah, I guess not. Anyway, and then in another gesture, I did like this, and I stuck my hand under the pulpit and hit this big pitcher of ice water, and ice cubes fell all over me. This is just really getting bad, but it even got worse because I had my Bible and I did like this, and a piece of paper fell out of the Bible, and instead of just going down, it just fell back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then this guy sitting about right here said, "Oh, he must need it." And so he gets up, it's so hard with his cane, and he goes over here. Here I'm preaching, and he's going over here, and he finally picks up a piece of paper, and he gives it to me, and I say, "Thank you very much, sir." But I don't even need the paper. But I'll never forget my first role in, anyway, in the story.
I was thinking there was another story you told me about speaking engagement.
Yeah, where you showed up to the church and the guests, they need a guest speaker.
Okay.
Is that the one you're talking about?
No, this. I remember this one. I was returning back to New Orleans to my church. I was then pastor of the Bridge City Baptist Church there. And so I thought, as I was driving home, I came across a white church. It's Sunday afternoon, you know, late afternoon, evening, why don't I just stop and worship? So I stopped the car, I walked in the church, and then I realized there were no white people there. And so I looked around, and what do I do? Well, I can't
believe.
This
is like in the 50s. So.
And so I sat on the back row, and I could hardly get out of that place. And then this big old buffed up pastor said, "Oh, our guest speaker has arrived." And he pointed at me. And so I turned to see who, and I'm in the back row. There's nobody behind me. And I'm not. Come on, we've been waiting for you for so long. And so, But he wouldn't take no for an answer. He said to two of his henchmen back there, buffed up guys, and they grabbed me by the arm and they took me to the pulpit.
They escorted you to the pulpit.
Right. And so, what am I supposed to do? Preach the word. In season and out of season. This is out of season.
Amen.
Anyway, luckily I had a recall of the, and I remember it was the standing firm in the fiery furnace of the three Hebrew children. So I did pretty good, I think, on that. But the horrible thing was that when I opened up this big pulpit Bible to Daniel chapter 3, I couldn't find Daniel 3.
Oh, geez.
But I knew it was in the Holy Writ, and I knew what it was supposed to say, so I went ahead and said it. Anyway, long story short, when it was all over, with fear and trembling, I went up to this big guy, and I said, you know, sir, I have to tell you this, but there's a page missing in your Bible. Not in my Bible. And so I said, well, sir, I really hate to tell you this, but I did this several times trying to turn the pages, and Daniel 3 is not in your Bible. And he went to the pulpit, and he could not find Daniel 3. But I got out of there fast while I was walking.
So. Sounds like you got out of the furnace.
Oh, very good, very good. Get back. Anyway, end of story.
I guess the point of that is to always be open.
Oh, and I did. And after that, I always carried a sermon outline in my billfold.
And prepared.
Yes.
My question is how has ministry and churches, pastors, just church as a whole and ministry changed the past 60 years?
It depends upon the location of the church, mm-hmm. Pastor. Because pastoring like 29 years of community church in King City, the setting in the church, the church setting in the small city is different from San Luis Obispo or even from Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas. So it's a little different. So what was the question?
How's it changed, like since the 50s? Just churches in general, Christianity or church ministry?
How's it changed? Got more liberal in a lot of churches. A lot of liberal. But in some churches, I can't understand the question. Next question.
Next question, please.
How has it changed? Well, the gospel hasn't changed, but the method, okay, there you go. The method has changed. And the way in which we do it has changed completely. And that's why you have to go where the rubber meets the road and be current in the situation and reach the people where they are.
Amen.
Can we go now?
Go on. Got a couple pictures of an early TV show, an early TV ministry. And you, in the 50s, were pretty close to the cutting edge on TV ministry. Can you talk about that a little bit? What was that like?
Where'd you find that? Okay, yeah.
TV.
Yeah, there were a few churches on TV in the 50s, and so we got on. But the thing that was really cool was that on the second program we had, why be the way it all, you know, go behind the pulpit and you speak and you do what you got to do and the choir's behind you. Why don't we do something different? And so we set up a living room setting, and we sat down, and I spoke to my music man. In fact, I remember he sang The Robe of Calvary, and he had this big red robe. And so we sat, before he sang, I gave my message sitting down, which I thought was maybe so different nobody would like. But nowadays, you know, it's a thing to interview and to speak sitting down. A lot of pastors sit while they speak. Did I have my coffee now?
Well, I was interested to. I'm probably skipping ahead here a little bit, but you've done some really interesting things in ministry, and you've been one that is not afraid to break a mold and try something different. And I was wondering if you could maybe tell us a story or two about some things that you did that were a little outside the box.
Okay, I have to think of one thing right away. Why not have a drive-in church in New Orleans? And so we rented the St. Bernard drive-in. And we had people come advertise, come as you are. And it was so cool, I gotta stand. It was so cool because at the end, when the people would make decisions for Christ, they were instructed on the bulletin to put their bright lights on and blink them. And then we had a couple of deacons there, and then they would find out where the bright lights were. And then they would go to that car and give them the plan of salvation and the track and talk with them. So I thought that was really interesting. And yet that was something different. And then there was a headline in the newspaper that said, Pastor Neil breaks the sound barrier. And what that was is that I got an old teletype machine. Who knows what that is? Nobody knows what that is. A teletype machine from AT&T. It's as big as this stand, and it's this big. It's got a keyboard, and it's got a roll of paper on it. This is way before the way before. But smoke signals. And I wanted to talk to deaf people. I guess I didn't tell you that. And so to break the sound, that's what the newspaper said. He breaks the sound barrier by talking to the deaf people. And we would advertise in the San Francisco Chronicle, and it would say, deaf, need to talk? Call this number. And then they would call at certain hours in my office, and the teletype machine would, well, this was how news releases used to be given to radio stations. And so, and then I would type back to them. So yeah, I broke the sound barrier. Crazy.
Let's go to the next slide. And this is another little outside the box thing. Maybe you could talk about that. What's going on there?
Oh, snow babs. I got so much flack from that. We went to the snow camp from our church in King City every year. And one year, we had a lot of people who made professions of faith, and it would be cool to baptize them close as they can to their profession of faith. The swimming pool was not available, so my friend and I were going back to our dorm. He said, Pastor Neil, what is snow but what?
Water.
Yes. And I said, water, just like he said. And so I said, wow, why don't we do something really cool? And so, yeah, we made a cemetery on the side of the mountain, put a cross, and the candidates would come to me, and we would bury them in the snow, cover them completely, and the instructions were to stay covered as long as you can. And boy, there was one guy who could stay as long as he could. And the longer he stood, the closer everybody started getting to him, because it was quite frightful. He could do it. Believe it or not, well, I can, anyway, he kept his breath a long time. Anyway, then the instructions were, break forth, you know, you have risen from the Lord, risen from the dead. So I sent a news release to a denominational paper, and then I got all this flack. I got $15 for their article, but anyway, people said, you can't do that. And I said, well, okay, but I did. That's quite true. Anyway, that's my slow baptizing.
We get the next slide. One of my most favorite things of being at your right side or thereabouts for the last 30 some odd years was watching him just minister, and especially ministering to children. And one of my favorite parts of his messages was the children's sermon. He would call the kids forward and have a separate message prepared just for them. And I don't know, I can think of a few, but do you have any particular favorite children's sermons that come to mind?
No, we always just have object lessons, and somebody said, forget the regular sermon, just do children's sermons, because the adults can hang on every word, and they can get a lot from it. Yeah, children's sermons is a part of my ministry, and on my website I've got 52 sermons. It shows you what object lesson you can get, how you can use it, blah, blah, blah. And imagine someday you'll be getting that. They're all boxed up with all the... Forget that.
All right. One of my favorites, I don't have the mic, but I'll just yell. One of my favorites was he lined up about 10 kids across the stage and across the platform. And he whispered in the first kid's ear a simple phrase. I believe it was, Jesus loves you. And their job was to turn to the person next to them and say the same thing, whisper it into the next kid's ear, and so on, all down the line, and then to see what would come out at the other end. It was kind of showing, I think particularly the message was how gossip happens and how, you know, the story changes from one ear to the other. And yeah, by sure enough, by the end, by gossip, it was happy birthday or something. It was not Jesus loves you. I don't recall exactly what it was, but it really struck a chord with me. I know he's had some really neat moments.
My next question was about King City.
I go to bed at 10 o'clock.
but okay. Before King City, I was just wondering, how many churches did you actually pastor and have you been through?
Okay, my first church was the Jacobi Baptist Church, the picture you saw, it's on your handout. And then I went to the Calvary Baptist Church, upstate Louisiana. And then I went to the associate at the Elysian Fields Baptist Church in New Orleans. Then I went to the Bridge City Baptist Church where Nanny and I were. And then after being at the Bridge City Church for a couple of years, and if any of you ever go into a ministry, don't ever resign your church without a church to go to. And I've done that. And so in the meantime, my folks had moved from Louisiana to St. Louis. And so Nancy's folks lived in St. Louis, so we resigned the church and we moved to St. Louis. At that time, we were Southern Baptists. At that time, I discovered that the left wing and the right wing of the Southern Baptists and American Baptists merged so closely that you can't tell the difference. And so it just so happened that we switched conventions to the American Baptist Convention, and then I was called to the First Baptist Church in Plano outside of Chicago. I was there for a couple of years. Then I went to the Beverly Hills Baptist. We went to the Beverly Hills Baptist Church in Detroit. My kids got sick. The pediatrician said, move out west. And so we resigned the church, moved out west. We were then at the Ridgecrest American Baptist Church for a couple of years. Then we went to San Diego, Del Cerro, in which I was a campus minister at San Diego State, and then I pastored the church, the Alvarado Baptist Church. And then my long 29-year ministry followed at the community church in King City.
I lost count.
Perfect segue. I don't know. It's
10.
Is that 10?
Okay. Wow. Oh, it can't be 10.
It was.
That's awesome.
No,
it That's
can't
awesome.
Be 10. It's probably.
I put it on both hands, Papa.
I think it's only 7. But what it is what it is.
Well, could you tell us about some of the ministries that you started in King City?
Well, one thing we started was helping the homeless people, and there was a hotel. Yeah. Okay, the hotel gave me a room, first floor, side room, and we called it the Ark. And people who would come who needed help, we would put them in the Ark overnight. And my job was, which was very nice, I look back upon it, put me in a lot of like this, because I would go there in the morning and get the sheets, and I would put them in my car, and I would go home and come back anyway.
You were seen coming and going out of motel rooms.
That's exactly right. Oh, I don't want to keep the people here longer, but talk about coming out of the saloon. You didn't say that, but let me tell you. I used to raise bees, and I was on the list at the police station of people who had swarms in their house that I would take care of them. And so the saloon operator had a part in the back grass area with a couple of trees and a big swarm of bees. So I put my suit on, I put my hat on, you know what I mean.
A good start of every
joke. Okay, it's very good. I went back and took care of what I had to do, and then as I was coming back, oh gosh, you know, guess what? You can guess. Somebody tell me what happened. Well, bees were in my suit, so I had the shirt off. So I took off my overalls and I had the shirt off, and there I am walking through the saloon with my shirt off, and people are watching, and then people are coming slowing down the street looking in. Dr. Neal, what's he? Is he a chip? What do you call it?
Chippendale.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that was a very sad experience.
All right. Well, a lot of other neat things happened there And during those years, I was thinking about the Runaway Hotline. I had some pictures, but I don't think they made it to the slideshow. But Runaway Hotline, the 800 number hotline that of kids.
Out of my office, we 1-800 kids away, and I spent hours, but just not at the same time. And I logged, believe it or not, 2,000 cities and towns in California, so that when my people who were on call could open up the big manual, and somebody would call from what's that word?
Got me there.
Sure. Some town in the middle of nowhere, and then the counselor would say they would know where to go. Okay, so 1-800 kids away, and I don't need to take any more time.
Okay, and other things too. Just continuing to today, ministries like the Discouraged Hotline. He has a number you can call, and every day there's a fresh message.
Changes at midnight.
It changes every day. So do we have that? Anyway, if you go to his website, is the place to start, which is wordsforcourageousliving.com.
Or neilcarlson.com.
Right. Takes you to the same page. It's on the handout. Great. Good. Thank you, Pastor Roger. So the information's there. Neat stuff. Good stuff. Kind of wanted to just sort of start getting towards the end here by talking about what you've been doing since you moved to Cayucas and started something called Church in the Sun, which what's
first,
that all about?
And moving to Cayucas, so I after a couple of years, I plugged in with Duncan Davidson at the Rock Harbor Church. Was there about 3 years, maybe a little bit longer. And then he left and I left, and we tried the Church in the Sun, which it sat.
We attempted to plant a church that didn't quite fly.
Yeah. And so then we went to the internet, and so, we are the Church in the Sun, the sun being
J-E-S-U-S.
Yeah, the sun being the Church in the Sun equal Jesus. So the sun in the sky, I'll send that. The sun in the sky never sets on our church in the sun, because the church goes through it, the world goes through its 24 time zones. So that's what we advertise. And we touched 193
nations. 193
nations? I think so. And it's so cool is that people can counsel or talk to me behind the keyboard, and they can be honest because they're not seeing me. Whereas if we were talking this way, people sort of, they zip their lip. But they can be really honest. They can. Anyway.
Very worthy ministry.
I've heard everything.
He has Bibles all over the world, teaching tapes all over the world. It's quite an exciting thing. And he's touched people in 190-something, too? What was it?
Three.
Many, many nations.
I'm not
it's
sure.
Incredible. Yeah, that's awesome.
I think it's really awesome too, because like if you need prayer or anything's happening, that you literally have people in every country praying for you around the world. I think that's awesome.
And then we pray for them too.
Awesome,
and you, I can't tell. Well, I'm not. Will not take the time.
The world the same thing.
Yeah, and then people persecution. You think it's bad as what you're going through? My friend in Pakistan. His pastor friend, the people came in and just sort of telling everybody, set the house, set the church on fire, set on the houses on fire, and then, believe it or not, they laid down in the street so that the fire trucks couldn't come. But anyway, and the Discouraged telephone line is good. The other day, I'm on the beach the other day, at least once, and the other day I was feeling really bad, so I thought I'd call myself. And so I dialed myself, and wow, this is really good, Neil. I'm feeling better. But I have another story to tell. As a church director, the other day, I never know what's on coming up. It just does automatically. I did 100 of them, and they just pop up. I called the number, and my girl was on the phone, and she was talking. And she had recorded 3 or 4 for me, and that was so cool.
Yeah.
Surprise. Anyway, that's my life, guy. I didn't even have to use the fire extinguisher.
Well, there's a few more questions, but we're kind of getting short on time. So how about, I don't know, maybe just kind of summary highlights. I did have a slide about just family ministry. You've gotten to marry off a bunch of your kids and grandkids and some other less happy ceremonies over the years. Just what's that like ministering to your family?
I can tell you an unhappy marriage ceremony I had.
Okay.
At Beverly Hills Baptist Church. You know, at Beverly Hills Baptist Church, Nancy had boxes of hats. She had boxes of shoes. I had labeled them all green suede shoes and all that. But when it came out west, they all went by the wayside. But at Beverly Hills, we had this really great wedding ready to go. It was time to start. My organist was getting tired. I said, keep it going, keep it going. And then 5 minutes later, we made eye contact. And so I said, Ed, keep it going. So he kept it going. And then finally, we had to make the announcement that we had to postpone the wedding. And so most people left, but the bride and Nancy and I were sitting on the steps of the church. You know, she was just crying, I know he loves me, where is he, where is this guy, where is he? And there were maybe 10 or 15 other people stayed. And finally he comes, yip, yip, hooray. But look at this guy. His shirt is torn. He's bleeding in the arms. I don't remember everything that was wrong with him. But what happened was he went to take a drive all by himself just before he got married. And the car broke down in the middle of nowhere. This is before cell phones. Finally came. And so we did the wedding. No, we didn't even spray him. We just prayed right there. And so the 10 or 15 people that were there got to see him get married because I said, would you like to postpone this? And no, we got plans. And so, so we did a crazy wedding. I also did a wedding in Las Vegas over the phone once. It's legal. Because my wife was on the extension as a witness. I got to tell you one more funny thing while we're laughing. A lot of times people would come to my office. We were right across the street from the city hall in King City. And there was a time when they were just coming left and right. And so finally I said, hey, how do you come? How'd you get here? And he said, well, your name is under the bridge and your phone number and where you are. And so, and then this one guy came, he was all torn up and messed up. I said, what happened to you? And he said, my friend threw me off the freight train. And so he wanted help. And so I helped him.
Well, that's one thing for sure. I remember over all the years that even though there were other services available in town, that people found their way to your doorstep because it got, well, it was under the bridge, obviously, that if you need real help, that's where you go. But that's kind of a neat testimony, isn't it, when you think about it all by itself? I mean, that people in need, you know, think of you. I mean, that's a tribute, really. One last picture. Well, there's family events. We probably don't have time to talk about that. But, again, he's been our family pastor as well as the community pastor and many weddings and even memorial services and things like that. It's been wonderful having you to anchor all those things for us. The next slide.
He's super.
He is a superman. He's been an awesome dad, father, pastor, preacher, teacher.
I don't want to show off and fly right now.
He won't fly away on us.
But let me tell the audience. As I said earlier, you know, you have been created for a purpose, each and every one of you. And you also got to be careful that you don't entertain angels. What? Yes, because I did. I was in a bad mood. This guy came into my office. He wanted help. I didn't. The man came and wanted help. And I was writing out the voucher. He said, "I'm a concert pianist." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, why don't you play something while I write the voucher?" And you know what he said? Pastor, these hands have been dedicated to grand pianos. Anyway, what I wanted to tell you about the angel is I wanted to help this lady, and I did. And my office was on the other side of the social hall. I walked her to the outside door. I opened the door, let her out, and just as I closed the door, I remembered to tell her to turn right as she went out. So I wanted to tell her that. I closed the door. I mean, I closed it and I opened it and she wasn't there. This doesn't happen. So I stepped out, I looked left, I looked right, I looked at the shrubbery, and she was not there. And so I really concluded that I entertained an angel of what? Right, so be careful. Be careful. You may be an angel.
Entertain strangers.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think we're wrapping it up, yeah.
Okay.
What's the high point? Out to the high point.
There you go.
That's out to the high point of your ministry, 60 years.
Mark, I got the mic. No, I'm just kidding.
The high.
He's a preacher too, so.
I'll tell you. The high point of my ministry was putting this ring on my girl.
Aww.
I sleep with a different picture every night, and I wear this around my neck. And, but the high point of my ministry, I don't think I have a high point. I had a lot of high experiences, but I could never, tally them that way. But I would say, I wish I knew now what I knew then. In every area. And my greatest problem has been, you know the story of Marianne? Right, Mary and Martha. My girl was Mary, and I was the Martha. I'm always do-do, go-go, be-be, do everything in a hurry. And after Nanny graduated, I'm shifting gears to be more like the Mary. It's sort of hard, I guess, for some men, except me, like me. Nancy knew how to romance Jesus. She was just romancing. And it's hard, I think, for fellows to do that, maybe. But anyway, I'm learning more and more to be still and to know that God is.
Amen. You got any more questions, Mike? I think I just got one more question.
We gotta leave now.
Do you have any advice for anybody that's being called to the ministry or you know, people like me?
Follow your heart. Nancy's favorite scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths.
Amen.
And I also would say, regardless of the outcome, speak God's word. And be faithful to what God says. But I know pastors today who don't do that. For number one, they're going to lose people, they're going to lose their money, they're going to lose their position, and they may be asked to leave like I was once.
Yeah.
And so, but you got to, here I stand.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's good word. Good word.
Well, thank you, guys. I didn't read my fire signature.
I'd like to impose on the worship team if they could come up and lead us in a final song. I'd love to pray a blessing over all of us while the worship team is getting set up. So let's all stand together and just position yourself to receive a blessing from the Lord. This is from Romans 15. I pray that our God, who calls you and gives you perseverance and encouragement, will join all of us together to share one mind according to Jesus the Anointed. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith, so that your hope will overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the God of all peace will be with you all. Amen.
Bless you guys. No, that's Kubo's microphone.
Oh, okay. What about the XLR? Do you, well, did you get it for you?
Oh, and we brought this one.
Yeah. Oh, that XLR thing?
Yeah. I'm good to go.
Oh, okay.
I don't really need anything.
Yeah. Here. Oh.
Yeah, just yanking chords, rolling chords up would be great, because I've plugged them all. Now I'm plugged them all. Hey, Robin, can you turn the lights on?
All the cords are unplugged?
I believe they are, except for like the power cord, but like the XLR and power cord.
We didn't have anybody to turn the thing on.
Oh, that's all right. I'll go back there.
Yeah. Well, we're not all the way, but we did it. It was, the panels were half. Half of what they are when we were all over there.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, dude. Can you tell those guys to help wind these cables up and stuff? Help them?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Come on.
Tell the right story.
Tell it right.
All
right.
Tell it right.
All right.
We got something.
And cufflinks.
If you guys want a lot of stuff back there, on the long rewards are all put in, you can start taking it out and leave them by the trailer.
I'm gonna
send
you guys. To do that.
That's mine.
Hey,
we're so dependent on those darn things, aren't we?
Yes, we are.